Ladies and gentlemen, drivers, gig workers, and everyone in between, welcome to This Week in Rideshare Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Hoffa. It is Friday, March 15th, and this week, gig workers face new rules, Amazon reaches Zen, and Uber leaves Minnesota. Legal Rideshare breaks it down. And from Legal Rideshare, I'm joined by the co-founder and lead attorney, Brian Greening. Bryant, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jared. Great to be back for another week of the episodes here.
Yes, we're back. It's spicier than ever. A lot of repeat stories with some updates. But yeah, let's dive right into it. We're going to jump into the first story. And I'm definitely going to need your insight on this one, Bryant. Let me hop over here. This is a new rule has just taken place. These are new gig worker rules, and this is by the Dispatch. And they reported, quote, a new Biden administration rule that changes their criteria for determining who is considered an independent contractor under the Federal Labor Standards Act went into effect Monday, potentially redefining gig work as we know it. Advocates of the new rule say it will expand the benefits of full employment, though estimates for how many people actually engage in contract-based and independent work can vary. Workforce surveys suggest that at least 25% of U.S. workers engage in some form of gig work as independent contractors, freelancers, or through other non-standard work arrangements. Brian, do you know what's happening here and what's changing in these rules?
Yeah, basically they're setting definitions now for who's an employee and who's an independent contractor, and they're trying to give clarity to the split. Basically, under this new law, there's going to be more employees and fewer independent contractors. And I think the goal of the Biden administration is to provide more protections to workers. So, you know, the concept is we want to make sure that everybody has, you know, a fair work environment, that true employees know how much money they're going to be making, that there's some level of security for workers who are being hired to do various jobs. And the basis for this is that a lot of companies have been calling people independent contractors when really they're more like employees. I know that there is a lot of talk of how this is going to affect the gig economy, and Uber and Lyft and all the others are, I think, privately concerned as to how this might affect their workforce. They're publicly saying that they don't really think anything's going to change. But ultimately, if gig workers are found to be employees under this law, they're going to be entitled to a lot more protection.
Yeah, I see that. They're saying it'll expand benefits of employment, minimum wage, unemployment insurance, and overtime. I also think, you're right. I think privately, the Uber and Lyft and gig companies of the world are concerned. But at the same time, it's like, how can you speak out of both sides of your mouth? One minute you're saying we don't have enough qualified workers, and then here comes some protections for them and some really good incentives. And then you're saying, oh, it's going to chill. They're saying it'll chill the effect on hiring contract. How can you say both? Like, wouldn't this help you get the workers you want? They'd be more enticed to do it?
Well, they may be more enticed, but they'd also be more expensive. Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to, is we're going to talk about Minnesota, I think, later, where there's benefits that are being advanced to workers. And you see when there's more costs associated with the worker, whether that's higher pay, benefits, whatever it may be, Uber and Lyft have traditionally taken the stance, we don't want to do it. We will fight it. We'll threaten to leave. And under the federal regulations here, they might not have a choice. It very well could transform the way that these workers are classified from a federal level. And then it's not going to matter what Minneapolis does or New York City does. If the federal government says that gig workers are employees, then gig workers are employees. So I got to think that at this point, the gig companies are taking the position, our workers are true independent contractors. This law that's going into effect does not affect us because our workers don't fall under the classification that the Biden administration has laid out. We'll see how the courts, interpret these laws and interpret the definitions. And it's too early to predict which side they're going to come down on. But if they were to find that these rideshare drivers and delivery workers and people like that fall into this employment category, then it's going to fundamentally change the gig economy.
Right. Yeah. As you said, you know, we'll see how if they try to fight this or what happens moving forward, but definitely interesting. And again, as I brought up before, 25%, I mean, that's a big part of the U.S. population doing some sort of gig work. So yeah, we're going to see how this moves forward. I'm sure we will see. Our second story today, which is quite dystopian to say the least. Amazon Zen booths are, as someone once said, a slap in the face. So if you're stressed working for Amazon, well, guess what? Just think happy thoughts. And this is from New York Post, and they added, quote, Amazon has sought to improve the morale of its stressed out warehouse workers and reduce injuries by setting up so-called Zen booths, interactive kiosks that are billed as mindful practice rooms. So a warehouse employee at the Seattle-based giant founded by, obviously, Jeff Bezos, leaked a screenshot of these meditation and wellness guide from the company that encourages workers to close your eyes and think about something that makes you happy. The screenshot, which also shows a timer at the top right of the corner of the screen saying repeat until timer ends and showing 10 seconds left, was leaked by a worker at the company fulfillment centers. The company also just recently deleted a promotional video announcing the rollout of these booths after it elicited scathing reaction on social media, where critics noted that Amazon has been accused of subjecting employees to poor workplace conditions and heavy workloads. Bryant, the future is here, and it is looking more dystopian than ever.
Yeah, this is – I don't even really have words to describe this. I can tell you that in theory – it's not a horrible idea to give workers an opportunity to take a couple moments to decompress, but it probably needs to be done in conjunction with other benefits and workplace practices. So if this was one small feature that they had where they're like, hey, come over here, take a breath, chill out for a moment, sounds good. But that also means you need to be providing safer work conditions on the floor. You need to be providing more, better opportunities to take breaks, maybe slow down the pace of the work. I know a lot of Amazon workers complain rightfully that they are being worked so quickly and so hard that they're suffering from severe fatigue and even worse, including repetitive injuries, all sorts of workplace hazards and injuries are taking place. So I like the idea of giving workers a place to calm down, but let's also take a more practical approach at job site, work site safety, and take the elementary steps such as, hey, how about we treat them better and give them more time to do a job and make the environment less emotionally and physically stressful where these kiosks are even, thought of as necessary.
Yeah, look, I am not, by no means am I, joking or making fun of the idea of mindfulness. I think that's very important. And just like you said, I think that's, on paper, it sounds like a good idea. And I could tell you this is probably a corporate think tank that came up with this. And again, I'm not bashing that. I think that's good. I think a lot of companies are starting to understand that that's important. I think the thing where it's ridiculous, like you said, is that this isn't, these aren't just theories or opinions. We know for a fact that Amazon workers are under the gun literally for time, and which leads into injuries. And so the stressed outness isn't just a natural stressed out. It is, you need to get this done. You can't take a bathroom break. You can't take a lunch break. So it's kind of ironic that they're then saying, oh, take 10 seconds and go do this meditation or mindfulness app. Do they even have 10 seconds to do it? I mean, that's the insane part to me. I think there's a bigger issue here than just, oh, they're stressed out and we're going to help them. Like the employee said, it's a slap in the face. And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is you said, do they have 10 seconds? And, you say that in kind of tongue in cheek, but is it a joke? Because like every worker that we talk to talks about how bad the conditions are, how if they take a moment to you know, for themselves to stretch, to just walk around, to, you know, to like try to have some element of self-care, that there are repercussions. Like, you can be fired for not working fast enough. You can be demoted, essentially, given less opportunities. It just, the company is, at least in the warehouse, is set up to be so fast and so efficient that humans have a hard time keeping up with the job. And, you know, yes, I'm sure they have 10 seconds to take this moment, but I don't know if they have much more than that. And is a short period of time like that really making a difference in somebody's well-being physically and emotionally? I don't think so. Let's start with changes from the ground up, and some of these cute corporate things, like, you know, a wellness Zen bot or whatever, like that. Okay, that can be an add-on, but let's not make it the foundation.
Yeah, totally. I would not be surprised if this is the last we hear of this, and it kind of just goes the wayside. That's kind of my prediction on this, but we'll see. Maybe it'll become the new hot trend. Who knows? But we are going to end the week with some very electrifying news, both good and potentially uneasy, I guess. But I'm going to look at the positive side of this. You know, Minnesota drivers claim victory, and in response, Uber leaves. This was a historic win for drivers. Uber announced it's leaving the city. Star Tribune reported, quote, rideshare giants Uber and Lyft said they will leave Minneapolis on May 1st after the city council voted Thursday to enact a pay raise for drivers. The council voted 10-3 to override the mayor's veto of the ordinance, which sets drivers' minimum pay for rides in the city starting May 1st. So what's interesting about this is on Thursday, Uber competitor Empower announced it could actually jump in and fill the void, but apparently could also open a new legal fight. Empower's business model is different, and the CEO Joshua told Star Tribune he doesn't believe the company needs any special licensing. So interesting stuff happening here, Brian. After many, we've been talking about this Minnesota or Minneapolis ordinance forever. The mayor tried to stop it. They have enough votes. They overrode the veto. They got it. Uber said they're going to leave, and they are leaving.
Yeah, they are packing up their bags. We've talked about this a lot, and I don't see this as a long-term situation in Minneapolis. I do think that Uber and Lyft will be back. It's a big market. There's a lot of money that they're leaving on the table. They've done something similar in Austin where they packed up for a while. Now they're back. But I am excited to see who steps in this void, because the city is going to have to adapt. There's going to be some void for a period of time, and there is a demand for rideshare services. So hopefully some of these competitors do step in and provide a really nice service for both the drivers and the customers. When we've seen stuff like this happen in other cities, we've seen some really innovative companies who understand the shortfalls of what Uber and Lyft have been doing on both the driver and the passenger fronts, and they provide good alternatives. And in places like Austin, some of those alternatives are still in effect and are still providing service, even though Uber and Lyft are back. So ultimately, when these major companies leave a city, they give opportunity for competition. They give opportunity for better options on both sides of the coin. And I'm frankly excited to see what's going to happen in Minneapolis and who steps up to provide these services.
Yeah, they said, you know, in the article, they said as of right now, it's, you know, Uber and Lyft are the only licensed rideshare companies. However, both local startups and existing companies have already said they're eager to fill the void. So yeah, just like you said, I think we're going to see very quickly other companies step up, and they got a lot going for them because they don't have to reinvent the wheel, ironically, you know, no pun intended here, but you know, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can simply use what Uber and Lyft do, realize people need apps to get, you know, to A to B, but then just offer a better service. And just like you said, we've seen in other places, that's exactly what happened. I think you had just mentioned, like, Austin was a great example of that. You know, Uber left And then I think it was called Ride Austin. Was that the app? It was called Ride
Austin.
That
was.
Yeah, and they had done the reviews then were that Ride Austin was a better overall experience for drivers and passengers. And so, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's going to take a little bit of time to push these new companies forward and to get them licensed. And we want the city to act, efficiently, but it's got to be done in the right way and in a safe manner to ensure that the companies are doing what they need to do to protect the drivers and the civilians who are, the passengers. But everybody's going to have a fire under them right now to get this thing moving, to fill the void, to provide a service, to provide employer for the drivers who are going to need another company to work for. And may the best companies rise to the top. It probably won't just be one, and it shouldn't be. So when Uber and Lyft come back in a few months and realize that they really do want Minneapolis's money to be coming into their business, then there's going to be more competition, and maybe it forces the bigger companies to make some changes to make it a better experience for everyone as well.
Right, 100%. Very excited to see how this goes forward. Very excited to see if Uber and Lyft truly leave May 1st. As I like to say all the time, time will tell, and this time that's for sure. But I think there's good things on the horizon for drivers, passengers, and businesses alike. I think we're going to see maybe a new dawn here for the rideshare world. I'm very excited for it. Before we head off to the weekend, Brian, I will give you the final words to sign us off.
Just reminding everybody that we are here to provide free legal consultations if you're ever injured on the job. So if you get into a car accident, if you are making a food delivery and slip and fall, you name it, please give us a call. We're happy to talk you through the facts of the case, the legal things to consider, how and when to talk to the insurance companies, you name it. We're going to be here to provide a resource to you. So visit us at LegalRideShare.com. You can find all of our contact information there. And do not hesitate. Time is of the essence when you're making these claims.
I cannot stress that enough. Time is of the essence. Can't tell you how many times I've talked to drivers. We could have helped them if they had just gotten to us sooner. So guys, ladies, gents, drivers, please, if you have any questions, if you think you're unsure of things, call us, contact us. Sooner the better. But that is the end of this week in Rideshare. See you next week.